Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll be on class 9 this morning, How True Wisdom is Found. And we'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. So let's read those now. Starting at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That seems a little confusing at first, but we'll straighten it out here. And the first thing we want to notice, I think I've mentioned this before, is that there are two kinds of revelation. And we're going to look at two kinds of revelation. The first one is objective revelation. Objective revelation is the truth given in the Bible. For example, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 says, Christ died for our sins. That's an objective fact, and that is given in the Bible. That is God giving truth to man. But there's another kind of revelation that we have to consider in Bible study especially, and that is subjective revelation. We could define subjective revelation as the work of the Holy Spirit in making us understand objective revelation. So subjective revelation is the Holy Spirit opening our eyes to the Word of God. Not beyond the Word of God, but to the Word of God. Now, the objective revelation was provided by the apostles and prophets. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, and in verse 13, he says, Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also spoke. Now, who's the we that he's talking about in those two verses? Well, it's the apostles and prophets. They were the ones who provided the objective revelation. So my job as the teacher is to present objective revelation in an understandable manner. So my job is to cross all the bridges we have to cross to get from the original to an understandable exposition. And subjective revelation then is the job of the Holy Spirit and you as a believer. And us as believers, I should say, myself included. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to make the believer understand revelation. It's the job of the teacher to teach it in an understandable way. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to help you to understand it. That's why the scripture is foolishness to unbelievers. I want to talk a little about revelation this morning, and that goes in those same verses, 10 through 13. He's talking about revelation. He says in verse 10, for to us God revealed them. Now, I want to make a grammatical note here. We're going to talk about the only source of revelation in 2:10. A grammatical note. Notice that the word them, if you're reading a New American Standard Bible anyway, is in italics. And do you know what that means if there's a word in italics in your text? That means that that word does not appear in the original text. It isn't saying, for to us God revealed them, that is what he has been teaching through the Spirit. It's for to us God revealed through the Spirit. The emphasis is not on what God revealed. It is on the fact that God revealed. Do you get the difference there? The emphasis is on the fact that God revealed his will, his mind. So the source of true wisdom is God. Revelation is from God to man. That's God revealing his will to man. Now, this is the exact opposite of human viewpoint. Human viewpoint sees man searching for God. There aren't many seekers. The only agent now of revelation is also in verse 10 when it says, for to us God revealed through the Spirit. The word through is the preposition dia. And dia is a marker of instrumentality or circumstance whereby something is accomplished or effected. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who accomplishes the subjective revelation. Now, how is he qualified to do that when we're not? Well, for one, he searches all things. Searches is the word eronao. Eronao means to understand. He's not just searching for something. That's kind of misleading in our translation because it says, for the Spirit searches all things. That means, to me, that means he's looking for it, but he's found it. Take the God's word for it. Yiranao means to understand, not just searching. He found it. It is a very intense word for investigate, to make a careful or thorough effort to learn something. That's BDAG's definition of it. So the Holy Spirit knows God's will. He's not just searching for it. He knows all things, in fact, even the depths of God. So the Holy Spirit is qualified to be the agent of God's revelation. Why? Because he's omniscient. He knows all things, even the depths of God. So the logic is in verse 11, is that the only way to find out what is in God's mind is if he reveals it. Look back at verses 6 through 9, where it says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And then he goes on to explain it in verse 10, where we started, for To us, God revealed through the Spirit. The only way to find out what is in God's mind is if He reveals it. Now, God's existence is revealed in many ways. We need to get that straight. He does reveal Himself in nature, in preservation of the material universe, in miracles, in the incarnation. So God reveals His existence in many ways. But there could be no extended or accurate apprehension of that revelation, which these things give us, apart from the divine interpretation of it, which the Bible provides for us. So we need the Bible even to understand that trees are a revelation that God exists, Romans 1. And this fact is even true of man. When he says, "For who among men," verse 11, "knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" So what he's saying here is that the thoughts of a particular man aren't apparent unless he reveals them. Well, you can't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. It's just that simple. We can't read minds. We can't read human minds, let alone the mind of God. So all of the revelation that God has given us is in the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. We don't study what man says, because God does no longer give revelation. That ended with the completion of Scripture. Now let's look at a few things about the Holy Spirit in verse 12. Verse 12a states the fact of His presence. It says, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." So His presence is a fact, and it's stated as such in verse 12. The purpose of His presence is in the last part of the verse. "So that we may know the things freely given to us by God." So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. And in this context, the things freely given to us by God refers to the objective revelation. Look at verse 13, "which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." So how do we know God? God has given His revelation objectively in writing. Look at John 16. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. John 16, 7 says, "But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." And of course, this is Jesus talking. And He says, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to send a helper. And that helper is going to convict. And the word convict, again, might be a little misleading. Convict is the Greek word elenko. And elenko means to bring facts to light, to expose, or to set forth. So what the Holy Spirit does is brings facts to light. We get the word convict of I don't know, kind of a shaking his finger at us until we're ashamed enough to believe. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He brings facts to light. He exposes facts. But to the unbeliever who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, then God's objective revelation is just foolishness. Now look at some things about revelation. In verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. It is confined, revelation is confined to the Scriptures in our age. Because the we in verse 13 refers to Paul and the apostles. Remember, the apostle was a divinely chosen man called to be the instrument of God's revelation. Revelation is presented in human language. We speak. And Paul uses kind of an interesting word for speak here. It is from the verb laleo, which means to make a sound. Laleo means to make a sound. It's an onomatopoeic word. And you know what that is? It's a word that sounds like what it means. And it's from la, 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 la. So it means to make a sound. In the papyri, this word calls more attention to the form of the sound. Just to make a sound. Lego, on the other hand, refers to the substance of the sound. Paul is using the word for the utterance of the revelation he has heard. So the sequence goes like this, and we're going to look at this next week in a little more detail. The sequence, we have revelation in 2:10, where God revealed his mind to man. Illumination, the Spirit, helps us to understand God's objective revelation, and inspiration, the act of the Holy Spirit in making sure that the apostles and prophets wrote down exactly what God wanted them to write down. So Paul had the help of the Holy Spirit for the reception of the revelation, for the understanding of it, and for the expression of it. So he claimed authority for his message. Look at 1 Thessalonians for a second. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4:2 says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. So he's claiming the authority of Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 1. Very clear over here. In Galatians 1, remember, Paul is defending his apostleship and his teaching, his gospel. And in Galatians 1:11, it says, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So the apostles were the ones chosen to write down God's revelation. Paul says that it's not expressed in words chosen by man. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. What he wrote down was not expressed in words chosen by man, but it is expressed in words chosen by the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, but in those taught by the Spirit. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit dictated exactly what Paul was to write down. You can see that if you read the New Testament, especially in the Greek, that different authors have different styles of writing. Very much so. John, for example, used very basic Greek. Luke, the physician, used a Greek that was almost classical. He used very more complex sentences and things like that. So the Holy Spirit didn't squash the writer. He just made sure that the writer wrote exactly what God wanted to reveal. We call this verbal inspiration. And that's why we're so careful about the text. Because the text of Scripture is exactly what God wanted the apostles and prophets to write down. So that's what I want to know. Another thing about Revelation is that the words of Scripture fit the truth revealed perfectly. Paul says in the last part of verse 13, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Literally, that says, and you should know this by now, because thoughts and words are in italics, so they're not in the original text. It says combining the spirituals with the spirituals. Well, what the spirituals are is defined by the context, wisdom, and words. So we could translate this, combining spiritual thoughts, the mind of God, with spiritual words, objective revelation. So it's combining the mind of God with his objective revelation. And the word combining is the word synkrino. Synkrino means to bring together with a perfect fit. So the words of Scripture in the original, the autographa, as we call them, the words in the autographa are a perfect fit for God's mind. So to know the Bible is the only way to know the mind of God. It's just that simple. And this is the basis for what we do here, and it's called expository preaching. I don't have to jump up and down, pound on the table. What I need to do is get the Bible, which is the mind of God, into your mind in an understandable format. So, in conclusion, I'd say remember the context here. The context is problems in Corinth, and the problem he's dealing with is divisiveness, because the Corinthians were divided into groups, each thinking that they knew more than the others. But all true wisdom comes from the mind of God, and we understand his wisdom through the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there's no place for pride. There's no place for divisiveness, because they knew the same truth. They were dividing over who they learned it from. And that's what Paul is objecting to here. So that's a little preview of what we're going to have next week. And next week, we're going to look at inspiration, revelation, and illumination, and see what those doctrines come to. And we'll get to that next week. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this section about revelation. And we pray that we can understand it correctly, that the Holy Spirit will work on our minds to make them conform to God's mind. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.